Okay, brother.
Please rise for the reading of the word. Reading from Acts 19, 1 through 7, page 1099. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Scott. Please be seated. Okay, we're running out of battery on that mic, so I got to make sure it gets off. We've continued a series called the MASH series. Okay, where this whole month our theme is making a spiritual hospital. And this is number two in what I consider to be the most important topics in Christianity. And Trish is not only our admin assistant, she is our director of connection groups. We have connection groups that meet in homes. How many of you are in a connection group? Just to see your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Okay, and if you're involved in this church and you want to get in a connection group, and they don't all meet in homes, they meet in other places too. See Trish, and she'll get you hooked up with a group. But they're also going through, did you all go through my questions from last Sunday? Okay. And how many of you did? You worked on those questions this week in your connection groups. And Trish and I have been working. We pray. We work together. We got another bunch of questions on this sermon for this week. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Can I see your hands? Okay. All right. A few of you have. That's pretty good. I consider it next to the most important thing, which we talked about last week, inviting Jesus into your heart, asking him to forgive your sins and give you the gift of eternal life, to be born again, to be born from above, the most important thing in life. I consider this number two, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The first time we read about it or hear about it is from John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist came, he was the first prophet in Israel in about 30 AD that Israel had seen since Malachi. Now, that had been a space of about 300 or 400 years. They hadn't had the last book of the what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. There had not been a prophet for 300 or 400 years. In fact, the book of Malachi ends by saying there's this great prophet coming, and then there's 300 or 400 years, and then suddenly John appears on the scene, and he is baptizing people down in the Jordan River. Now, that's my fourth important sermon that we'll be getting to, water baptism. We'll talk more about that and what John was doing there. But he saw Jesus coming, John chapter 1. You can read it later towards the end of that chapter. He saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he said, "The one who sent me to baptize in water told me, 'The one you see the Spirit of God come on, he is the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit.' And I declare to you that he is the Son of God." That was John's job, to point out Jesus, say he was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that he was the one, the Son of God. So that's the first time we hear that term. And we know that the Spirit of God, when did the Spirit of God come to Jesus? At his conception, remember? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he had the Spirit of God in him from conception. But then when he, at age 30, goes out to meet John and is baptized, comes out of the water, the Spirit of God comes on Jesus, and I believe that was his Spirit baptism. Jesus even was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that day on, Jesus then began to do the miracles and signs and wonders for the next 3 years. That was his anointing with power, even though he had the Spirit within him. Something happened in that river that day. Different. He was empowered. And as long as the disciples had Jesus with them, they had the Spirit of God with them. But on the night of the resurrection, there was only 10 of the disciples. They were all together in a locked room, John chapter 20. And suddenly Jesus appeared to them. You remember that story? That Easter story? The room was locked. There was only 10 of them there because Thomas was missing. He was gone. So we went to get coffee. Okay? He went to Starbucks. And of course, Judas was gone because he'd hung himself. He didn't have to do that. He could have hung around like Peter. And they were in this locked room, and Jesus showed them his hands. He showed them his side. He said, "I'm not a ghost." And he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John chapter 20, verse 22. And I believe that night the disciples were born again. The Spirit of God came to live in their spirit. And Jesus hung out with them for 40 more days. He appeared to over 500 people over the next 40 days in his resurrected person, including his own family, who weren't believers until that time. It took the resurrection to bring his family around. And then on the last day that he was with them, he took them up to the Mount of Olives, which is about 5/8 of a mile east of Jerusalem. It's a beautiful place. You can look down over Mount Sinai and where the Temple Mount is. I hope you get to go there someday and that you go stand at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus took 120 of his closest followers up to that mountain for his last day here. And he told them two things. He said in Acts 1:5, he said, "I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. Because John baptized in water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." There it is again. And then his very last words, the last words of Jesus on this planet before he ascended into heaven. And you can go and stand at the spot where he did that. He said, "Because you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses throughout the world." Power. And then he left them and he went up into heaven. And there were two angels who said, "Oh, by the way, he's going to come back the same way he left, to that spot." And then for the next 10 days, they didn't know what to do. So they went back to Jerusalem, which was only just about a mile away, less than a mile away. They waited in this upper room and they prayed. 120 of them prayed for 10 days. Can you imagine what would happen if Cornerstone Church gathered and prayed for 10 days together? We'd have a revival, wouldn't we? And on the 10th day, just happened to be a Jewish holiday called Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. They heard a great wind from heaven. There were tongues of fire that went and rested on all 120 of them. And they were filled, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. What Jesus had told them was coming. Of course, who baptized them in the Holy Spirit? Jesus did. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John said he was. And they began to speak in languages they didn't know and had never learned. The great works of God. And there were people in Jerusalem from all over the world who heard them and recognized these languages. And they thought they were drunk. And Peter, who'd been the big scaredy cat 50 days earlier, he stands up and preaches the first gospel sermon. Suddenly he's got power. And he says, these people aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. There's a great book by that title. I don't know. Can we bring that one up? Can we bring that one up? By my good friend Dennis Bennett, who talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. 9 o'clock in the morning. I recommend this book. And then he ends his sermon by saying, repent, every one of you, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift is for everybody of all ages, of all times. Now, a few years go by, and by the way, 3,000 people got saved that day and got baptized, and the church began. And a few years after that, last week, we talked about Saul's conversion, how he'd been a Pharisee killing Christians, and how God had come, Jesus had come to him, and how he had gone to Damascus in Syria, and he was blind. You can listen to last week's sermon on iTunes, or you can pull it off the website. And Ananias came in and laid hands on Paul, remember? And he was healed, Acts chapter 9, of his blindness, because Jesus had struck him blind on the road to Damascus. And he healed him of his blindness, and he was filled with the Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he was baptized in water, and he immediately went out and began to preach that Jesus was the Christ. And wrote most of the New Testament, and became one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. Maybe only Billy Graham maybe has surpassed him. Billy Graham has led millions of people to Christ. Millions. All over this planet. But so is Paul. Paul may be billions. I suppose Billy's second to Paul. Yeah. But some great evangelists. Amen. And then we read this story that Scott read for us this morning in Acts chapter 19. Where Paul later, even a few years later, he goes to Turkey. He travels the whole Mediterranean. He travels all of Europe. He starts churches all over Europe. Severe persecution. He gets to Ephesus, which is on the eastern side of present-day Turkey. It used to be a seaport. Now it's all silted up. Anybody been to Ephesus? We got a few people that have been to Ephesus. You can go there today, but it's no longer a seaport. But you can see where Paul went. And he ran into some disciples. And so the first thing Paul asks them is, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Kind of a strange thing to ask them, isn't it? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, then what were you baptized into? And they said, John's baptism. And then Paul says, man, you guys are way behind, okay? Because John baptized in water to get people ready for the one who was coming, that's Jesus. So they said, okay, well then let's get baptized in Jesus. So they did get baptized in Jesus, and then Paul laid his hands on them just like Ananias had done to them, to him, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages they didn't know and they'd never learned, just like on the day of Pentecost. So what happened to these people? What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that when you ask Jesus in your heart, God's Spirit comes to live in your spirit. We are not only spirit, that's the part of us that lives forever, by the way, but we're also a psychological being and we are a physical being. Our psyche and our physical being are going to catch up and live forever too, but that's later, after Jesus comes back. Our spirit is going to, when we die here, if Jesus doesn't come back right away, our spirit is the part of us that will go to be with Him until Jesus returns. And the Holy Spirit comes to live in that part of us when we ask Jesus in our heart. That's what it means to be born again. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus does, you have to ask Him for it, is a release of that Spirit of God within our psyche and our body. It's a release. The word to baptize means to immerse, to water log, like taking a log and putting it in the water and let it soak up. We soak up the Spirit, and it's released within us, body, soul, and spirit, for ministry and for power. That's what it is. Now, in the book of Acts, we can see that it happens in many different ways. It can happen when you first ask Jesus in your heart. It can happen then. That's the way it happened to Paul. That's the way it happened to the Ephesians. Except in both cases, they laid hands on him to pray for him. And in the Ephesians case, they spoke in a language they never learned. Didn't say that Paul did when Ananias laid hands on him, but we know from Acts 14 that he spoke in that spiritual language later in his life. For Jesus, it was two parts for him. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but 30 years later, the Spirit came on him and baptized him. It was a second experience for Jesus. For his disciples, I believe it was a second experience. They received the Spirit of God on the night of the resurrection, but it wasn't until 50 days later that the Holy Spirit came upon them. Nobody laid hands on any of those people. So what does that mean? Well, I think it means that there's many ways to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It can happen when you accept Christ into your life, and it can happen later. It can happen when people lay hands on you, and it can happen with nobody laying hands on you. It can happen with the accompaniment of spiritual gifts, like learning a spiritual language, having a spiritual language you never learned and don't understand. And it can happen without a spiritual language that you've never learned or don't understand. But the important thing is that it needs to happen in your life. Now, let me tell you how it happened to me. I, as many of you know, you can get my testimony on my first sermon I preached here. I was a hippie at the University of Washington during the Vietnam War. And I started reading the New Testament miraculously because my future mother-in-law had put my name in a prayer group, and there were people at this little Methodist church praying for me to find new direction in my life. And I used to tell all the sailors when I was a Navy chaplain that if there's ladies in a church somewhere praying for you, you are in deep trouble, okay? Amen? And my future mother-in-law was a very wise woman, by the way, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost had Dennis Bennett had prayed with her, and with my wife Gail, by the way. And I accepted Christ reading the New Testament. Nobody around, nobody to talk to me, didn't know a church, didn't know anybody except my mother, future mother-in-law. But I got saved, and the Spirit of God came to live within me. I got delivered from drugs immediately. And the Lord began to lead me and guide me and speak to me. And there was some power there, but it was... beginning. And then one day I was over at my mom and dad's house, where I just was yesterday, by the way. And not that house, though. Different house. And their pastor just happened to be over. Isn't it interesting how things just happen to happen, right? Those are God incidences, I call them. They're not coincidences. If you're here this morning and you don't know why you're here, that's not a coincidence. That's a God incidence that you're hearing this message. And I heard the Lord inside me. I've never heard him out in my audibly out here, but I always hear him in here. I heard the Lord say to me, "You need to talk to that guy." So I made an appointment. I went over to see him. I told him what had happened to me. Now remember, I looked like John Lennon, okay? I even had his glasses, okay? And hair down to here, you know, the whole thing. Leather jacket, you know. And he said, "Oh, you got saved." I didn't know I got saved. I didn't know what had happened to me. He says, "You got born again. Now," he says, "you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And he gave me two books. First two Christian books I ever got in my life. They Speak in Other Tongues by John and Elizabeth Sherrill, and The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. They made the second one into a movie with Pat Boone, if you're old enough to remember that. And so I was reading these books in the Husky Student Union building at the University of Washington, where I was a student. Now, in those days, when God wanted to get my attention, and he still does that occasionally, he sends me a beautiful woman. That's how God gets my attention. God, guys, can you relate to that? Okay. So here comes this beautiful hippie girl. She was probably an angel. She was gorgeous. Gail's not in this service, so I can talk about her. And although Gail's heard me tell this story many times, and she came up to me and she said, "Do you believe what you're reading in those books?" And I said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well, we're having a conference on the Holy Spirit at our church tonight, and you should come." And she gave me the time, she gave me the place. Of course, I'd have followed this woman anywhere, of course. So I called up Gail, and I said, "We're going," and we went. We got there, and the place was completely packed. It was this big church in Seattle, and there were thousands of people there. We had to go into an overflow room. And I'm sitting there, and I don't go to church. I look like, you know, John Lennon. And I got my hippie girlfriend with me who thinks I'm out of my mind. And I couldn't take it. All these people were giving testimonies. They were pastors and priests from every denomination, Catholic and Protestant, talking about this experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't take it. I had to get in there. So I grabbed Gail. We went into the sanctuary. Thousands of people. There were no seats in that place, standing room only, except two seats up by the speakers. So I thought, hey, there's two seats right there. So I grabbed Gail, and we went up, and we sat down in them. And we're listening to these testimonies, and suddenly everybody in that place... Anybody ever here ever seen the snow geese get up all at once? That's kind of what happened, is everybody stood up and they began to praise God and they lifted their hands and thousands of people, and there was prophecy in English about Jesus' second coming, and there was messages in spiritual languages with English interpretation about the second coming, and everybody was praising God, and it was electric in there, and I was holding on to my chair, looking at my hippie girlfriend who thought I was nuts, and I could hear God saying, "Stand up and praise me. Stand up and praise me." And finally, I didn't care what my hippie girlfriend thought anymore, and I just stood up and I lifted my hands up to God, and that was the last thing I remember. The next thing I know, I'm outside of that church. I have no idea how much time had gone by. And I was just so filled with the Spirit of God that I could not drive my car. I had absolutely no fear of anything. You know, there's a verse in John about perfect love casts out fear. I was filled with perfect love. That's a good description of what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It's an infilling of the perfect love. And Gail had to drive me home. It was the highest high I'd ever been in my life. And it stayed with me for weeks. And when I went to bed that night, I could hear this beautiful language that I never learned and I couldn't understand praying inside me, in here. Later, I remembered that verse, or I read that verse from John, where it says, "Out of your innermost being will come rivers of living water." And that Jesus was talking about the Spirit of God. And it took me a long time before I could ever verbalize that. But that was my spiritual language. That was my baptism in the Holy Spirit. Even though I'd accepted Christ before that, nobody laid hands on me. It was a sovereign thing from God. But from that day forth until this day, I had unbelievable power. Power to do what I'm doing right now. Power to read the scriptures. Power to pray for the sick. Power that came from the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you need to have it in your life. How do you know you need it? You have to decide that. If it didn't happen when you accepted Christ, then you need to ask for it. Sometimes it's helpful to have people lay hands and pray with you about it. That's what happened with Gail. This all happened with her later. I'll let her tell her story, okay? Get her to come to the women's retreat and tell her story, okay? Or get her up here sometime to tell her story. I'd love to see that. But she had this experience too, years later, at a conference that we had in a Methodist church. Today, at noon, I'm going to be here available if any of you would like to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to come back at noon. We won't be here very long, and I'll pray with you, and I'll lay hands on you for any that would like to come. But you don't have to do that. You can go home, and you can ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, but just make sure that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you are empowered for the work of ministry for Jesus in the world. Band, would you come and wait upon us?